Bell's calling off everywhere. There he is. What's going on, Dustin?
Hello, good morning.
How you doing?
Good morning, guys.
Good, how are you?
Good, good. We got the same hoodie on, Dr. Corey, or what?
This thing? No.
It's different. Well, a little different. One of these when you come visit.
So we're waiting on a couple other. We're going to have a new member joining us today, or potentially two new members joining us today.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's that bring us to?
Nine.
Solid.
We're gonna cap it at 10, and then we'll start our next group coming up here shortly. Which, by the way, guys, if you know, if you got friends who are looking for some help from assistance, we're also doing this for young docs. This is kind of our young doc program. So they don't necessarily have to be associates if they're new in practice and they want to learn how to build their practice, build themselves, and implement the 7 pillars of practice success. Let them know. We'll probably be starting our next group in early November. So, and you might actually help somebody save their business. So,
maximize their business if they're.
Yeah. Hey, Dr. Josh. This is so funny, comes up as Kaylee. You know.
Dr. Luke, you look like you're about to record a song or something over there.
I wish.
Hey, nice hat.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Next year, this coming GPS, the Success Summit, is going to feature our newest logo. Have you guys seen that? Have you seen our new logo?
It was on the screen when you entered.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, oh, it's like the waiting screen.
WJ is so creative in his technical skills. So if you guys don't know, WJ is, he handles everything behind the scenes. He's a technical whiz. He makes us look good, which is hard. It's really hard.
Thank God for him, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Because most of this stuff never would get done if it was just up to Dr. Eddie and I from a technical standpoint. So if any of you guys are attending the summit, I know Luke, you are. Jared will chat. Then you'll get to meet him. But let me just mention quickly. If you don't, how many of you know what the GPS to Success Summit is? Either you listen to the podcast, you've heard about it, who knows what it's about? Okay, so let me give you a brief description. So it's a one-day intensive small group of mastermind where we really focus on helping, really, we set a day aside to work on ourselves, personally and professionally. We're going to really get into what are some of the major obstacles, more so limiting beliefs that is holding us back from achieving the goals and success that you deserve. And we're going to work through a process to help you finally rid yourself of limiting beliefs. Next step is we're going to get into what we call our clarifying tool, really to clarify what you want for yourself in your life in 2021. And there's a lot of subset tools that we go through there with identifying your max effort tools, your most productivity activities, 7 levels why. We're going to get really down deep into the why aspect of what it is that you do. That's the leverage that you need to stay consistent. That's the leverage that you need to stay committed to your goals. And then the afternoon, we've got a couple of guest speakers specific about how to maximize your finance, creating a program to get out of debt, to accumulate wealth, and even create passive income. And then we're going to help in the afternoon help you guys build out your goals for 2021. So when we're done at 5 o'clock, you're going to have a design plan for your life for 2021 as it relates to your health, your mindset, your business, and your finances. So it's an all-day event, And it's really, like I said, it's for you. It's in, to invest time in you so you're prepared when we hit January 1, you know exactly what you need to be doing, when you need to be doing it, and how often you need to be doing it. So maybe, Luke, you were there last year. Maybe you want to just give a quick, you know, little testimony of what your experience was like.
Sure. Well, I'm going back this year, so that's part of my testimonial. But it was just a super helpful environment to really like critically think through a lot of the things that we end up not taking the time to think through, I think was kind of the biggest thing for me. And it was, I would say, like my first GPS style seminar. And so I learned a lot of just different ways to approach things. And the big thing for me was you guys had like easy ways to apply it. Like I can't tell you how many people after that I, cause you use like the 7 whys, I think was one of the exercises we did as far as like, what's your purpose? Okay. You answer that question. Why is that your purpose? Okay. Why is that important? And you keep asking why. And I know it was at least 7 times and got down to like the very bottom of it. And that was super helpful for me as far as just finding a direction. And I passed that on to probably 10 people. And it just, a lot of things are just able to be added up from like finding clarity. I mean, my 2020 word was clarity. And that was like the perfect way to start it. So I don't know. It was a lot of good things. I'm excited to go back.
Cool. Very cool. Dr. Jared, you were there as well too. Any thoughts? Anything you want to add to that?
I mean, I thought it was really good for me just because I think the date was like November 14th or something. And so I graduated end of October. So I hadn't even really, or I was just at the verge of getting into practice, still waiting for licensure. And so I wasn't really sure how to jump into things and really kind of maximize my efforts, my time to be the most productive I could be. And so it was really important for me before I even got my licensure to know what I needed to do as far as myself, how I need to make myself a better doctor going into, you know, getting my license and progressing forward. And it was funny that Luke said, you know, his word was clarity. And it's just funny because I still remember that my word was determination, you know, and basically just staying focused. And so it was huge. And it was, cool. I said it was, you know, it was structured. So you're there till 5 o'clock, like Jay said, but you're doing something to make yourself better. So.
Day went pretty fast too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the entire day, lunch, beverages, snack, everything's all included, some pretty cool swag gifts as well. But most importantly, it's about being in a collective consciousness with a group of people who are really committed about improving their lives. Mostly Kairos, but there is other small business entrepreneurs as well too. And it'll be the same way this time as well. So if you're committed to making 2021 your best year, really consider joining us. There is a special discounted fee for our members. You guys get 20% off. I think your fee is five something. I can get the specific number. For some reason, it comes 577 is what sticks in my head. And, we've probably got, I think we got 9 seats left available. And it's November 14th, same day this year. It's a Saturday. It's here in Eau Claire. It's at a facility called the Center, which is a beautiful facility setting in the woods. It's a perfect location, really kind of get to go within. So if you want more information about it, you want to consider joining us, just let us know. Oh, Dustin, you were there as well too, man. Sorry.
Totally. Yeah, I was. Yeah, I was.
My bad, brother. Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
Yeah. Anything else you wanted to share about that?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the environment is just really intimate. You're with a bunch of like-minded people, so you just feel really comfortable being around those type of people, and you just kind of form different bonds and, you know, get an experience where different people are coming from. It just helped me grow immensely. I mean, you just get down, like Luke said, to the why and just really, you know, be consciously aware of, you know, what you're doing and why you're doing it. And, you know, trying to, again, shift your mindset away from just going through the daily grind and actually getting something out of, you know, what we're doing every day.
Cool.
But it helps you live each day intentionally, right? Whenever you figure out exactly what your why is. And a lot of people don't ever self-reflect enough to take the time to realize what that means to them or what makes them a little emotional when they think about it. And I'm sure maybe, Luke, whenever you got down to number 7 times, you got a little bit emotional because it started to stir some buttons now. And now these buttons you can use and you can press them whenever you're having a down day or you need to push through something or you don't want to get up that day and do what you need to be doing to be successful. But you push these buttons and now you're clicking again, which is cool, you know?
We came up with the theme of a GPS to success is because we're all familiar now with GPSs on our phones, you know, in our cars. And if you just plug in the address, right, we know step by step how to get to where we want to go. And essentially what we're doing this day is helping you plug in that address so it becomes crystal clear for you where it is that you want to go. And more importantly, the steps that you need to take. And again, it's a collective environment, everyone doing and working towards the same goal. So looking forward to it again in about 6 weeks. And so I want to introduce and welcome our newest member, Ashley Neslin. Ashley, Brittany, you're no longer the only female in the group. Ashley is a new associate with Dr. Clarice Lilja in St. Paul, Minnesota. And Ashley, if you want to introduce yourself, say hi to the group, and then we'll kind of get rolling.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ashley. It's nice to meet you all.
Yeah.
To say anything, I graduated from Northwestern in 2011, and I've kind of played a lot of various roles in within the chiropractic realm. I was a business owner right out of school for a few years, and then I've kind of been between part-time and full-time associating since then.
Cool. Welcome.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Eddie, you want to get us rolling?
Yeah, so we're round-robbing this thing just like usual when we start, so I guess Ashley's not going to be so much in depth on what we did last time, but we'll start after this time. So what did we use since last time? We threw a lot of information over the last couple of visits we've had all together. So what's working? What's maybe some obstacles? How are you using it with your life and your practice? So let's just start. Dr. Corey, maybe?
Dr. Eddie, before you start real quick, just as a reminder, right? So last week we talked about referrals, how to ask for referrals during the results of test 2. We talked about educating through the Socratic method. We also talked about internal referral process. Couple of quotes I gave you guys was money only becomes an issue when value has not been created. I'm interested to see if anybody has anything to comment about that. Give the patients what they want and sell them what they need. I wonder if anybody had an aha moment about that experience. We started the day one process. We'll get into that later on. And then the homework was to do a day, or actually we did day two, day one, do a day one, a consult with your team and record it. Now, we got one back, and that was from Dr. Corey. Thank you, Dr. Corey.
There's two.
Oh, well, you got two. Who was the other one?
Dr. Josh emailed me and said he's doing his this week. That's what it was.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool. So for those of you who didn't get it to us, we still want it, right? Because that's going to help us go through it and really pick it apart and tell you about how bad you sucked and then give you some suggestions how to improve it. By the way, we were there.
The thing is, too, but we need to reiterate this, right? It's awkward. Nobody wants to do it. I never wanted to do it when I first got going. But you have no idea. I think Dr. Corey had a couple of epiphanies whenever he sent me an email, like kind of where he could already improve just from watching it one time. So just suck it up. Do the work. You're going to get out of this what you put into this. So just take the time, take the 10 minutes or whatever you do. I think his was 8, which is perfect time for that. It's to help you get your flow, guys, and you hit your verbiage and your communication, and then you can already self-reflect, and we'll shoot over little emails too, and we'll really tighten this thing down, and you'll crush.
All right, so the things we spoke about, major takeaways from the last conversation, what you've implemented, what you found success with, you know, just kind of give us a brief wrap up so we can get through this quickly. Now we got 9 people in our group. So Corey, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah. So doing the video and filming myself, that was definitely an awkward experience. The fact that the camera is sitting between me and Dr. Nicole adds a little spin to it all. So I find myself thinking a little bit about the camera. So maybe that made it a little bit more awkward, but I find it super beneficial because you see a raw video of yourself and how you talk to people every day. So I found myself being passive, and I am that type of person. So I need to kind of buckle up and just be the authoritative figure that I'm supposed to be and be confident. I also feel like I'm in a public speaking group. So this is going to filming myself is something that I didn't think about doing before, but that's definitely going to be able to help me speak in front of other people because I feel it's just as awkward to speak to a camera as it is to somebody else or a group of people.
It's more awkward, right?
Yeah.
Whenever I was first getting started, I did a lot of health talks, obviously in companies and hospital, wherever. And I would always use the talk and I would videotape myself doing the talk at home in my home office or within your base, wherever you want to do it. And then you can run it back. Number one, you get your timing down because we all have a lot of period of time when we do these public talks, but we want to make sure we're precise in our information. So that's another good tool too, is whenever you start doing more speaking, when COVID gets away or gets back to whatever that normal looks like, or even a webinar, record yourself doing whatever your talk is going to be. And then you can kind of just nail down the details. That was really helpful whenever I was getting rolling too.
So I have a question for you, Corey, because, and obviously this is, each environment is a little bit different when we communicate. When we're communicating here, we tend to be less, we tend to be more monotone, you know, less emotionally engaging. What did you notice as it relates to your level of emotional engagement?
That's a good question. I don't know. I kind of find myself sometimes as like a monotone person when I'm trying to like just communicate towards a patient. You know, there's times where, you know, it's just to be able to show emotion. Sometimes you almost have to feel stupid to be normal. That's kind of how I take it, or that's my perspective. Like come off as normal or not monotone, it's just like I have to be super into something. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And the thing that Dr. Eddie was talking about, you know, make sure you're on point, you got your information. But I would argue it's way more important to be emotionally engaging than it is the content of the material that you use. If you touch people here, they really remember the specifics of the content, but they're definitely going to remember how you made them feel. You guys have heard this before. And so for me, one of the keys that I found when I recorded myself is just how much of a connection was I making with these people? Because if I don't make that emotional connection, it really doesn't matter about the stats and the statistics and the, you know, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't have the same kind of impact. So observe how you're emotionally engaging people, number one, right? And number two, are you talking at them or with them? If you can make those two distinctions when you make these recordings, that's what's going to transcend your ability to deliver a just absolutely tremendous result to test or any level of communication.
Yeah, mask throws a wrench in that whole being able to
yes.
visually see people's face and then see your face. So that's another challenge.
What I do when I've had, I mean, I had 5 consults yesterday. If you go into the room, I ask, I'm like, look, would you mind if I remove this mask or lower this mask so we can communicate more properly or better, or is a better understanding or whatever your verbiage needs to be. And I never had anybody say no. So, and I've been doing this since it started. So I'll pull it down so at least they can see me and see my enthusiasm, because a lot of times when they come to our offices, they've already run out of hope. They run out of options. They're struggling. They're doing good. Just get through the door. Most of them, you know, and if we can show them that we love and we care and we're excited and we see there's hope, then obviously they're going to be like, oh, I can get with this right now. You know? Cool. We'll go Dr. Jared.
I guess the biggest thing for me the last couple of weeks has been kind of revamping day one, you know, going through it in the past, you know, it's probably been 6-7 months since I've been through that initial process. So going through it again here with you guys, I definitely saw where I was kind of dropping the ball with a few spots, leaving some stuff out that were important as far as re-engaging my patients. You know, if they're coming from a different chiropractor, you know, rate your previous experience, why you didn't return back. So that gives me a little bit better idea of kind of what their expectations are as well. Another thing, as far as being emotionally engaged and stuff too, is I noticed yesterday I had a consult with my ideal patient, and they worked for ETS Systems, which is sports performance type stuff, and they're opening a new franchise in Eau Claire. And I just found myself more emotionally engaged. I was excited. I was, you know, upbeat with them, asking questions. We were, you know, BSing the whole time. And after I got done, I just kind of asked myself, like, why haven't you been this way with every patient? Because I could definitely tell the difference in myself, and I'm sure the patients could too. So just kind of refocusing, and, you know, every patient should have that kind of intentionality. So just kind of redirecting myself.
It's a great aha moment, man. It really is. Dr. J, you said you like you're about to say something.
No, I just can't emphasize enough. Communication is about emotionally engaging. Chiropractic is about building relationships. The better you are at building relationships, right? One of the reasons why Dr. Eddie's been so successful so fast, and I only use him as an example because, guys, I've had over 50, well, it's close to 70 associates in all my practices. And he was the fastest to grow. And I'm just using a number as a metric to 50,000 collections a month, because he's excellent at emotionally engaging people in a relationship. So what was the distinct difference between everyone else and what he experienced? Well, I taught them the same material, right? He took the material, made it his own, and specifically, but the way he emotionally engages and builds relationships, people just love to be around him, and they love to engage with him. So that's what I'm trying to say is if you can up your emotional engagement, it's going to be, it's a game changer for you.
And the only way you're going to do that, though, is you got to take care of yourself. You got to work out. You got to eat good food. You got to take really take care of yourself, because it takes a lot of energy to stay that upbeat for 70 patients, 5 new patients in 6 hours. So by the time you get home, if you don't want to feel like you got hit by an 18-wheeler, you might want to start really taking care of yourself, because the congruency aspect of this thing is a real thing too, because our patients are going to start to sniff that out as they work with us and they hear from us and they – you know, it may work for 3 visits if we're not being congruent, because they're not going to know any better. But after that, they're going to know, you know.
And I can definitely vouch for Dr. Eddie's enthusiasm. You know, the rooms I use oftentimes are on the opposite side of the building, and there's never any doubt when I can hear him going in the room with another patient. You know, he's on good morning, or, you know, he's, you know, I don't know how he doesn't scare the shit out of everyone, but.
But they know it's coming. They're already prepared. They're waiting for me.
So let me back that a second, and Josh, perhaps maybe because you were fortunate enough to be around Dr. Stuckey for a while. Dr. Stuckey, who practiced for 52 years, who was the founder of our clinic, the clinic's celebrated its 61st anniversary this year, never had a bad day. He taught me what being a professional was. And what that means is a professional shows up every single day their absolute best, because the people who are relying and counting upon us to help change their lives, and the people who work for us, who are relying upon us, need us to show up at our very best. And so therefore, he never had a bad day. Didn't mean that things in his life didn't go wrong, because they did, but he was always upbeat, enthusiastic, and positive in the life of the party. He would be telling jokes. Josh, would you agree what I said?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, even up to the age he retired at 70-something years old, he still was the dominant energy in the office.
Well, you know, there's one thing in life we can control, is our enthusiasm and our work ethic. And if you get those two things dialed in, how can you lose? You can't. You know, so wake up every day on fire, check your shit at the door when you get to the office, love on your people, you're going to be successful. It's just that easy. And then you obviously use the tools and strategies, and you're going to crush it, which is fun for everybody. Cool. What you got, Dr. Luke? You even got the microphone on the headset. Oh, man.
I do. It's the best birthday gift I've gotten in a long time.
Love it.
Which, yes. By the way, before we end today, I want to share with you guys a really kick-ass marketing tool that helped build your practices. So don't let me forget to tell you that.
I'll make a note for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had a couple things. It was interesting right after we talked about getting your whole staff on a care plan. I didn't even have a chance to kind of talk through our meeting stuff with Dr. Kramer yet. And then when we got into our Thursday team meeting, that was one of our topics because we're trying to implement the substation into all of our processes and whatnot. And I had already kind of started tracking my own stuff on a little more like detailed level. And then he brought that up and I was like, well, that was a very nice coincidence that came up in two places. So we were able to do that. And then we've been taking our staff through day one, day two stuff for the last couple weeks, just so they're aware of the changes that we're making, which I think has been super helpful for them because they've been able to, I think, to answer a lot more questions before patients even get into the room. So, you know, the patients already feel like prepped and it's not like they're walking into something brand new necessarily because everybody's been on the same page. So that's been super helpful for us. What was the other note that I picked up in here? Kind of piggybacking off of what everybody's been talking about as far as connecting goes. I had a patient last week at the very end of kind of the history person that just, or portion that just stopped and said like, basically like, I feel heard. And that was like the first time that they had felt that way in a long time, which is really kind of heartbreaking to hear. But for me, that's kind of the biggest compliment that I feel like I can get is if you're truly connecting with someone and they're coming to you for help and they feel heard, you've already won. So now you just got to do your job. And
was that after the day one consultation?
Yes.
That comment was made?
Yep. Okay. Or during the day one.
So guys, that's exactly what that process is designed to do, to make the person feel like they're the most important person you've ever spoke to and that they felt heard. If you don't execute steps 3 and 4, you'll never get that kind of feedback. So good for you.
Yeah, so that was awesome. And then I also had another case last week where you talk about like, you have to show up every day. I mean, how many people get a new patient and like one of their first comments is, you know, I was either going to go to my medical doctor, go get an orthopedic consult, but then I saw that you guys had an opening today, blah, blah, blah. So I suppose I'll come here first. Like we're always an afterthought. But when you can go in and connect and show them the impact that you can have on their health. And like, it's always fun for me, like a couple of weeks down the road, be like, so did you ever end up contacting your medical doctor or the ortho consult that you wanted to go through? Like, no, not didn't even think about it. Like, I didn't even know you guys could work on shoulders or knees or whatever. And it just reinforces like that impact that we can have, but you got to show up for it. And I've had enough of those cases where you go in swinging for the fences because that impact is just, the potential for it is huge.
And see, if that doesn't make you want to get your energy up whenever you go and take care of people, you got a problem. You might be in the wrong profession, you know, because that's exciting for me, even hearing you say it, you know.
Yep.
Good job, man. Congrats. Dr. Josh.
I would say one other thing, let me go back here. I wrote it down. In the process of the day one, I think asking that question of kind of rating the patient's experience or previous experience, that's been really good because it does allow me to see where I rank in the process of how I communicate with the new patient. And I've found of 3 new patients over the last 2.5 weeks that, I don't feel like I'm doing any more than anyone else, but they have given me the kind of go ahead of, you're kind of the wow experience, right? Because I'm asking more questions. I'm maybe doing more in about the same period of time that they normally are. But again, they feel heard. They feel that I know what I'm talking about, which is obviously great. But they feel like they're in the right place. And so Josh, it's been kind of neat to hear that and see that and have a patient who was new to the area. He's an individual that's had a stroke a few years ago, so he's in a wheelchair, and he had me booked one day, and then he had another chiro booked the next day, because he's like, I'm shopping, I'm looking around. And he told me this after the fact. And then as he got up and was ready to walk out, he goes, nah, I'm canceling my chiropractor or my appointment tomorrow. I said, what for? He goes, well, I have another chiropractor appointment that I'm looking at, but you're my guy. I'm staying with you. I'm canceling. So I was like, well, wow, all right. It's awesome. You know,
very cool.
But
so Josh, yeah. You say the biggest distinction from, you know, over the last few weeks is A, the day one process and your level of questions that you're engaging the patient in. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the change that you made. What are you noticing based on the fact that you're asking questions? What are you noticing from the patient?
I would say I'm noticing them come to like kind of dropping their comfort, kind of dropping their wall and or guard, and just feeling more comfortable with what's going on and how I'm talking to them, and maybe providing more hope in the questions that I'm asking, because maybe I'm asking better quality questions with them too. And getting to that point of, it's not just about getting out of pain, but really what it's truly getting to them is what they're not able to do or what they're missing and what that could be like if they get it back in 3, 6, 12 months from now.
That's good. Isn't it better that they come to their own conclusions rather than us telling them what they need to do? Mm-hmm. Isn't that way more fun? It's a lot less work too, by the way.
Yeah.
And right. Day 2 really helps us get through that process. So awesome. Right.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Dr. Dino.
All right. So what I've been using, I've been trying to refine the, re-exam days where I'm asking for a referral. So I had a bunch of them last week. So hopefully, fingers crossed that, you know, they give them out, because I gave them the free exam, free x-ray, you know, family and friends discount thing. So I gave them that, and I had, I think it was 6 re-exams last week. So I'm hoping to hear back. Hopefully I get a few. And I have a bunch of new patients this week, but I haven't seen if there's any, like, if they're from referrals yet. So I'm just waiting for the front desk to clarify that for me.
How did you script this in, or how did you add this into your re-exam?
It was terrible the first few times. I just kept like kind of fumbling over words. I just couldn't catch ground because I haven't done it yet. So I think I got better by the end of the week. I almost pretty much nailed it right on the head with what you guys sent out in that email. And I had a few patients that were like, definitely, you know, give me a handful of them, you know, I'll hand them out. So we'll see.
The easiest way to build your practice, I'm telling you guys, is just do this. And again, it's awkward, right? Dr. Corey, Dr. Dino knows now. It's not fun at first, but if you're doing it from a place of love and a place of service and a place, I just want to help people be well and stay that way, you're going to flood the doors. You're going to be a waiting list. You're going to be backed up till next week before the new patients can get in. That's what's so cool. I'm glad you're using that script too. It's so easy, right?
Once you get a hold of it, it's easier.
Yeah. And the best thing too, like, videotape yourself if you're ever doing anything new, scripting, and be like, oh, and then at least you're saying it a few times, and then that brain, that muscle memory kind of thing starts kicking in, you know?
Yep.
That's awesome, man.
Quickly. So Dino, awesome. You did it anyway, even though you didn't practice it before. So you're not a typical individual. Most people, you know, are not going to do it on the fly without rehearsing it. So good for you for just jumping into the deep end of the pool. Right?
Definitely jumped in without any floaties on.
And it does. It feels awkward. It feels weird, right? But Eddie's right in the sense, if you come from love, it doesn't, guys, this is exactly what I was saying when we first started. It doesn't matter the words you use. It doesn't. It's the intent behind it and the emotion that you engage with. That's what makes the difference. So you can screw up the words and not get the words right, but if the intent's right, the outcome's the same. Right? And so for those of you who need more certainty before you do it, just take a few minutes, write it out, and practice it a couple times and record it. So at least you've dry run it. And the best test case scenario test group is your staff, because they're going to be brutally honest with you. So practice with your staff. That's why we're having you do the day one for your staff, because they'll be brutally honest with you. So good for you.
Cool. And we got, who we got next? Dr. Brittany, first 2 weeks of practice at the new place.
Now.
Oh, is it that long? Jeez, time flies.
Yeah. I'm still just observing and stuff now, but starting to get into it. Yesterday I had, I was doing an exam on a patient. Dina was my patient, actually, but she came in like real aggravated with the front desk at first, because she actually like was in a car accident but didn't tell anybody that, so like all these complications, wanted to use her insurance. So she was just like super angry. So when the front desk gave me like her paperwork, they were like, good luck with her, like all this stuff. So we went into the room and she, you know, started getting like hostile with me, and then I like could just tell that she was just like frustrated. So she actually like started crying and stuff, and I was like, okay, like hold on. And like I sat down and explained everything to her, and then she was finally like, like, thank you, I didn't mean to be rude to the front desk, I didn't mean to be like that, all that stuff. So like just like sitting her down and talking to her like I guess a person, and not just being like, oh, this is insurance, this is how it works, because she didn't understand at all. And she was actually like in a car accident at work, so it's like super complicated, you know, is it workman's comp, is it PI? And she was like, I'm just going to use my health insurance, and, you know, Optum's not going to pay for that. So she was just like very upset. And I think by the end of it, she like calmed down, and then she was like, this is never going to get better. And I was like, no, you'll be fine. Like, cause she's just been like thrown around at all kinds of different doctors. And then I think, you know, she got treated by a Dr. O'Mara, and then, yeah, I think she's coming back on Thursday, but it just took time out. It was a long day one, because I had to sit her down and like calm her down, but it was worth it, because I feel like she appreciated that, you know, even though she was rude to the front desk, like she was like, okay, thank you for like understanding that I'm frustrated. Yeah.
What did you notice, Dr. Dino, when she got back into the room, did she mention how great Brittany was?
She diffused the situation like a time bomb genius. I mean, I remember seeing her face when she walked back, and I was like, oh, this new one's going to be fun. You could already just tell she just had that mad look on her face. And so by the time Dr. Brittany came out, she's like, oh, no, everything's all good. I was like, oh, you diffused the situation.
Yeah, she was like, oh, what, wasn't my appointment at, you know, it's 3:30. What time is my appointment even? And I was like, I'm sorry, like, we're short-staffed today. Like, it will be okay.
I just want to, just confrontation, whenever people have bad days. Yeah. And yes. We just treat them like we would want to be treated when we're having a bad day. They're going to be fine.
Right.
You know, that's cool to hear that. I mean, you just got to take the time. Sometimes it may get you backed up. Sometimes it may frustrate the front desk because you're behind 15 minutes, but it's going to be way worth it if you get the person, you know, obviously the care they need. So good for you for taking the time to do it and not just pushing them through like a number. Because when you start treating them like a number, then you're going to have problems. Dr. J?
I just want to say, Dino, I was thinking about what you were saying before. To convert those referrals better is to walk the patient out at the conclusion of the visit and reaffirm to the front desk what you've already discussed with them. So if you just spoke with Mary and, you know, say, hey, Mary, if there's a way we can get your husband and your kids checked for free on me over the next 2 weeks, is that something you'd be interested in doing? Right. And if they confirm that that's what they want to do, all you need to do is just escort the patient to the front desk, tell your front desk member, hey, Mary would like to get her husband and kids checked in the next 2 weeks. Can you find some time to make that happen? And then you leave. It really takes 30 seconds of your time. That is the last step in that process, which will help convert much higher.
Cool.
I did that yesterday three times. And whenever you get up there, if you do new patient paperwork and it's not all online, all of us are online now, but this family just, she wanted paperwork. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna walk you up. Let's get you scheduled. So schedule last appointment, handle her paperwork, and the kid's coming in, you know, Wednesday or whatnot. So hand them something, you know, even I guess you're doing the sheets though, or the free passes or whatnot.
Yeah.
Cool. Yep. All right. So let's go to, we got next, Dr. Dustin.
So I've been absent the last couple meetings, but going back over my day one script and procedure stuff, I think the big thing that stands out to me is going to be just the initial interaction with the patient as far as mirroring their body language. I know we've been talking about how we want to be like, you know, passionate and engaged, but I think there's some people that, you know, they come in and they're kind of a little bit standoffish or timid or scared. So I think a big thing is just, you know, again, trying to mirror their body language and their tone and things like that to basically, you know, make them feel comfortable right away. You know, I feel like a lot of people can be skeptical, especially if they haven't been to a chiropractor ever and it's their first time, you know, they're kind of like, okay, what's going to happen today? So I think just kind of, you know, matching their energy to calm them down has been, you know, I've been more consciously aware of that instead of just going in and kind of doing the same thing every time for every patient, you know, really trying to match their energy. And then, you know, that just puts them at ease. And then the second thing would be, which I didn't really do a lot when I first started practicing, but that's when we do the first day exam and then we do the scans, the surface EMG and their x-rays. And then the tech will take them in and she'll do the scan and the x-rays. And then when they're finished with that, then I come back into the room and I kind of look over their scan and their films and just kind of reassure that, you know, we can help them and that they're in the right place. And it just kind of go over that briefly. So then, you know, and then walk them up to the front desk and get them scheduled.
You go through the films on the first day?
So not going through the films, just coming back into the room and look at, just kind of briefly look over their scan and just check their x-rays and then basically say, yeah, you know, this, you know, I see this and this, you know, you're in the right place, you know, and then follow up. So not going over the x-rays, but just kind of reiterating, you know, they're in the right place and that we can help them.
Are they in the room when you pull the x-rays up?
No.
Okay.
No, they're not seeing this. The scan is going to be up on the computer screen, obviously, but no x-ray stuff. They're sitting there. I come back in. Yeah.
Cool. I just saw that being an efficiency problem for sure. Because they're going to start asking questions and what's that, you know, and then you're going to waste, you know, so that's good. All right, cool.
Exactly.
Yeah. Energy is a big thing. If Brittany would have went in guns blazing with the lady yesterday, she may have pulled out a gun in Chicago. You never know. So it's a good, you know, you got to mirror these things. It's just, it's common nature too. So that's cool. All right. So we're going to go through, finish the day one stuff.
Actually, we did finish day one. Did we guys want to go to day two? Yeah. Yeah, we did. So before we do that, before we jump into day two, quick things. If you're ever unable to make one of our meetings, A, please let us know. Dustin, thank you for doing that. B, it's your responsibility to watch the playback. You've got 14 days to watch it before you jump on the next call. And then the second part is, I want to talk briefly about the day one process. So each quickly, you're go around the table. What is your biggest takeaway that's changed your day one process since implementing the new system that we talked about? So Corey.
Honestly, it's asking the patient, you know, why are they here? Because a lot of times they only think they're there for the pain.
Yeah.
And truly they're not, you know, maybe it's they sit at work all day and they get frustrated throughout the day. They don't recognize that until you really get down and ask them why. So that's probably the biggest part.
And that usually shakes them to the core when you ask them that. I'm going to share a screen so you guys can see up here. What
it changes the way that they think.
Absolutely.
Instead of coming in for pain, they're coming in to be able to do whatever better or different things like that.
Right. That's the emotional shift here as we get down into number five. That's the first step to identifying the real impact points. Why are they there? They are not there for pain, guys. I'm telling you, they're not. That's what they think because we only ask. If you ask crappy questions, you get crappy responses. If you're engaging them simply based on their symptoms and their condition, you'll never get to this point. But below the surface, Corey, you talked about, or Luke, you talked about seven levels deep. If we asked you one question, guys, what's your why at the summit and moved on from there, I would be negligent as a consultant, as a coach, to help you get to the real core issue of what moves you and excites you. Because you have to ask and drill down on that question over and over and over to get to the real issues of why they're there. You know what? I just want to be able to walk with my husband on Sunday mornings because that's our time together each week. I mean, that's a why, right? It's not about sciatic pain. No one gets thrilled about about sciatic pain. So that's awesome. Good. So who's next? So real quick.
Oh, Dr. Dino.
The biggest thing I would say is probably matching the patient's personality. You know, you don't want to come in there guns blazing when a person's kind of closed off and back in the chair. So I feel like I've been matching personalities pretty well and kind of going with it.
Can you give an example of how you would have went in previously and how you went in and you identified that their posture and tone was low and you had to bring yours down and it helped them open up? Can you give just a quick example?
Yeah. So like it's actually right there was a perfect example. I used to kind of go in guns blazing, always like, hey, how's it going? I'm Dr. O'Mara, welcome to Greenwood Chiropractic. You know, what's going on today? You know, that was kind of me like with every patient. And then I kind of realized after you told me, you know, just read their body language. You know, I had one lady, was it last week? Instead of sitting in the chair, she was sitting on the exam table, like arms crossed like this. And I was like, oh, okay. She's already ready to like, you know, kind of put this away. And she already said, she's like, I'm not sure about chiropractic and this, you know, my friend just told me to come here. So with her, I spent a lot more time just explaining stuff to her and she really kind of ran with it. And like I said, just matching that personality is almost key.
Yep.
Awesome. Awesome. Big takeaway. Because if you go in there and overwhelm her, she shut down the rest of the time. Doesn't exactly. matter what you say. Awesome. Awesome. Next. Dr. Eddie, call out because I don't have my
system.
Yeah.
For me, it would just be honing in like the explanation of chiropractic in general, just kind of getting them to understand again, more of the vitalistic and nervous system function as opposed to just more of the, you know, the pain, the mechanistic musculoskeletal, and just trying to get them to understand, you know, more the deeper philosophy about, again, just not the pain, but lifestyle and how their body's functioning and get them to kind of, you know, understand that right away.
Cool. Cool. Dr. John.
Let's do Dr. Jared quick.
Oh, Dr. Jared, okay.
All right. So for me, it's more biggest thing has been kind of the imagery part of it. So once you ask them their why, you know, they could leave it at that, but get into, you know, just imagine what this will look like 6 months down the road, you know, and then having them describe what that looks like. I've had a lot more engagement with that.
That
pre-framing them. So I know that 6 months from now, when we do a re-exam or a recheck, this is what you should be feeling, number one. But better yet, what are we going to see on our scans?
Well, then they know, like, pre-frame, this is going to take some time. You know, it's not something we don't want to see you for 10 visits for pain care. You know, this is, you need to change your lifestyle to fix the problems that are actually going on mechanically as well, which will help down the road. So,
yeah, sure.
Dr. The quality of your practice is directly related. Hang on one second. So the quality of your practice is directly related to the quality of questions that you ask. That is a goldmine question that you just mentioned right there, Luke, right? Or Jared, right? It's called future pacing. There's nothing more exciting than people thinking about their future in a positive way. If you say to the patient, imagine what your life is going to look like 30 days from now, 90 days from now, if we continue to make the progress we've made. When they come in and say, God, I can't tell you how much better I've slept. I haven't slept this good in years. Mary, can you imagine what your life is going to look? So really, with emotion, can you imagine what your life is going to look like 30 days from now or 60 days from now? We're just scratching the surface. I'm so excited you're here. I can't wait to help get you to that point.
If they're not looking forward to coming back, they're looking forward to leaving.
That's right.
So keep them engaged and actively pursuing this health and these goals. And that's why jotting those things down like we talked about last time. And wherever your file is or on your laptop or your tablet, whatever their leverage point, maybe it's playing golf or playing with their children or whatever those things are, so you can continually reflect. And every time they come in, I would say something about it in some form or fashion.
Cool. That's what future pacing is. It gives them goals. It gives them something to look forward to. Awesome.
What do we say next? Dr. Luke.
Yeah, I think my biggest thing from the very beginning was putting the notes down and the papers down and just sitting and showing them that you're listening, and then reflecting it back to them. So I feel like I've always been a good listener, but until you consciously use that to like connect with them, people don't necessarily know that you're a good listener. So for me to kind of reframe their story, so that they know that I'm on the same page with them, has been a really powerful connecting piece.
Yeah, so not writing notes down, it's just looking at them, right? It's just being engaged with them. Awesome.
A lot of people listen, but they don't, you know, they don't really care. And whenever you have that extra component, it's going to take it to a whole different level. Let's see. How about Kaylee?
Oh, sorry. It's me.
I'm joking, man.
I was kind of reiterate to what Luke said. The biggest thing that I've been able to do consistently has been setting that paper pencil down and really, really listening to the patient and then restating the fact of so that I understand exactly what they're going through, because I'm just, again, seeing that shift of, again, they're hearing me hear them. Like they know that I'm listening. So
cool. We're sensing a theme here. I can see, huh? Which is awesome. How about, who we got next?
Brittany.
Yeah.
I would say the same thing. Yesterday I had a patient and I was just like, he was very detailed in his paperwork. So I just kept trying to go back to it instead of just like listening to what he said, because he had like three different things wrong. So I kept getting like lost. So then I just eventually like put it down and I was like, okay, just shoulder, neck, like, you know, like that, instead of keep looking at what he wrote on his paper because he was using big words and things like that.
Sure. Hey, Dr. J, will you quit sharing my screen, please?
I'm sharing your screen?
Well, you're sharing a screen. It's like throwing all my stuff off, man.
I just wanted to show them the outline for the day one to remind them what it was. Okay. But you guys should have this in your notes.
All right, yeah, it was attached to the email last week, too. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of which, did everybody get the email?
Yeah?
Okay. All right, just want to make sure. Okay.
Moving forward, guys, I had a request by some of your docs to also send them the email so they know what we've been covering and where things are at. So just FYI, your docs are going to be getting them as well too, okay? All right, so last point on Brittany was, Brittany, I was thinking about what you were saying is we got to make sure as we go through this process here that we celebrate the victories. Even if it's a subtle little, you know, high five or fist bump or, you know, some carrot at the end of the week to celebrate the growth and the wins that you've experienced. You know, I was never good at that early on. I just thought, you know, it's what I'm supposed to be doing. But when you celebrate the victories, especially with your teams, right, you'll reward the behavior you want. So if you want more great stuff out of your team and out of yourself, just smaller rewards. It's just the way that the human mind is conditioned.
I highly encourage you to, whenever you finish a shift, I don't care if it's in the morning or at night, grab your facilitator or your staff or your CA, like grab your team that worked with your unit that day, and you get them together and say, hey guys, we'll win good. They say what they say. Yeah, we got a chance to help a lot of people. It's pretty exciting, right? And then I say, what could we have done better? And they already anticipate me doing this, and they have a list of a thing or two things or three things that, hey, this went well, but we could have done better here. Whether that's putting people more efficiently, getting them to the bat quicker. Like, I think you guys, if you can start doing that this week, you'll start to see, obviously, patient flow is going to be way more efficient too, just going off of what we were talking about a minute ago.
All right, so we got about 5 minutes left. And what I want to do is just start with the day two process, and then I'm going to go over with you briefly here a really cool marketing program that clinics that I work with have been doing and getting great results. So I want to first cover what is the objective of day two. Now, whether you call it a report of findings, results of test, we call it results of test. It doesn't really matter to me, okay? Just know we're talking the same language. So there are six main objectives for day two. Number one, in no particular order, is we want to make sure that we handle any objections that they're dealing with either from day one and or objections that they might have moving forward. We want to discuss with them and make sure we present to them the three options of care that are available, including the consequences and benefits of each option of care. We'll get into the details of that as we go along. We want to make sure that the patient affirms their goals. Now, I'm pretty certain most of you, because most chiros don't know how to do this and don't do this, they never even get to the point where the patient, where you're talking, it's the doctor's goals for the patient. The way we do it, the patient comes up with the goals for themselves, which is a game changer for your PVA in case average. Because now it's about them, what they're interested in. It's all how you structure your educational process. Where they're wanting and basically asking you, right? So that's one of the other objectives. Next is we want to make sure that we clarify the differentiation between function and structure, right? Function and structure. We want to also prime the pump for referrals and make sure we get the spouse to day three to the financial consult. Now, if you don't have the spouse there at day two, someone asked me, what's more important, the spouse at day two or day three? And my answer always is day two. Because at the end of day two, if the spouse is there, that spouse is going to be a patient. So then selling them a plan is going to be really easy. If they haven't been to day two and they come to day three, which is the financial consult, now I've got to backtrack and give them some sort of context of why we're making all these recommendations that's going to cost thousands of dollars of care in just a couple of minutes, and it's very difficult. So what I'm saying is, if you had a choice which day to get their spouse there, day two is the day you want them, to be there, okay? Now, some offices, because of the way that the world is right now, is providing the option of doing a day two virtually. Now, I'm not saying that's the best way of going about it. There's nothing better than a one-on-one personal experience. But if I can do it virtually and get it done faster, because it's all I need is a computer. Everything that I need needs to be on a computer. And I can have the spouse there. That's a win. So keep that in the back of your mind as an option moving forward to offer the patient as part of the solution to day two. Okay?
If you have college students, we do a lot of college because we have a university right down the road. I'll have them Zoom their parents into the report. And so number one, they're probably not gonna become new patients because they live 2 hours away, but they know they're gonna pay for their care plan because they get the value of what we're about to do. And it has worked wonders. You know, right. If you send a care plan home with a 19-year-old, their mom's gonna say, what? Not happening. If they're into the call and you understand, you just describe what's happening structurally, why is that manifesting itself physically or symptom-wise, and what are we gonna do to fix it, they're gonna be all on board.
Yeah, we need to, as a profession, start utilizing technology much more effectively. And you guys are young, you're smart, you get this. And so we want to be ahead of the curve and do what other professions, medical professions, are already doing. So let's make sure we're taking advantage of that. So that's a great suggestion, Dr. Eddy. So I'm going to leave it at that, the objectives for day two. We'll get into each of the steps next time. But in the meantime, what I want to discuss with you guys is a process, a marketing process that I work with some clinics out in the Boston area. And they're doing a part of their patient appreciation week. They're doing, now you don't need to call it this, is they're doing their quarantine check-in screenings. So they're inviting patients to come in for a quarantine check-in process or screening to check four ergonomic issues, right? Shut in shoulders, you know, rounded shoulders, right? Zoom neck. They call it stuck at home sciatic and quarantine low back. The thing is, right now, more and more people are working from home and via computer than ever before. So the impact and the effect of sitting is really starting to take a toll on people. And you guys have probably even noticed it and seen it in your own practice, people talking about it. And if you're not talking about it, you need to be talking about it, because we are the best solution to help them get through this issue. So what they've done is they've set up an entire week where they're doing screenings for people to come in who are working home or working virtually to do an analysis. So they're doing a scan, they're doing a posture analysis, and are basically assessing structure and function. From there, they're offering them a new patient consult, exam, special offer, you know, whatever that is. And their goal is 200 new patients this month from this program alone. So the point is that it's simple. The point is that, you know, there's a higher rate than ever before, people working from home, working from computers. More people are dealing with these issues, okay? And they know it's a problem. All we need to do is point out to them that it is a problem and they need to get checked and screened for it. And so the benefit then is we get them set up, we screen for them, you know what we're gonna find, offer your special offer, get them scheduled to come in and get them scheduled as new patients. So, questions on that?
What kind of scripting do you have for that process?
As far as scripting, what, as far as from a marketing standpoint?
Yeah. I mean, is there anything special that you say, or you just kind of go through just a regular kind of screening? Yeah,
so think about it, right? It's hook, story, tell. Guys, this is the formula for success anytime you're marketing. Hook, story, tell. Hook, story, tell. Write that down. So what is the hook? The hook is, hey, you know, working from home more than ever, right? Noticing neck pain and shoulders, low back pain. Noticing low energy and fatigue at the end of the day, right? So the hook is something that's common to them. Yeah, I'm working more now from home than ever. I'm in front of my computer more hours than I've ever had. Yeah, you know, I've got, you know, having neck issues or headaches or shoulders or low back or whatever the case. So that's the hook. So story, tell them a story. So here's what we're seeing because of, you know, kind of the new work environment, we're seeing more and more people with chronic forward head posture, low energy, headaches, difficulty sleeping, eye strain, whatever the case may be. So tell them a story, right? And then the close is, look, we're gonna do a complimentary screening to help evaluate if you're experiencing these issues, what it's doing to the function of your nervous system and the structure of your spine, and what we can do to help you get through this and get things repaired. So it's really that simple. Don't make it too complicated. Now, one of the ways to introduce this, one of the ways they are introducing this is they're doing virtual workshops. So go to where your people are at home on their computer. And with Zoom, you can record it and they can access it anytime. You can email it to it. They can watch it at their own convenience. It's great to do something like this when they're on live. But you can promote it in your office, you can promote it via your social media, you can promote it via your email list. A virtual workshop, okay, dealing with ergonomic issues from working from home. I'm sure you can come up with a better title, but you understand what I'm saying. And I'm telling you can do it once or twice, record it, and you can replay it over and over and over. And you don't even have to leave your practice to do that. And it's really, there's very little cost involved with it.
Cool. So I just want to quick, is anybody doing the supplement recommendation I sent an email about, like, what, two visits ago or two talks ago? Has anybody started implementing that? I'm going to send the scripting out. I just remembered this morning as I was going through some of our stuff, I didn't send any of the scripting out. Or any of the verbiage or the communication stuff. So I'm going to attach that to this week's email as well. Please, we implore you, do the video. I don't care how awkward you feel. Do the video. It's going to help you tremendously. We're not all going to watch it, so don't feel so weird about it. Just do it. Deal? Good.
Yeah, so you haven't got it in. That's your homework for next time is to get that recorded, your day one recorded. Okay. Cool. And if you have any questions either about the summit or if on the virtual workshop, just reach out, send some questions, emails. Dr. Eddie will be sending out the wrap up from today's virtual mastermind, what, next day or so?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, before we leave Wednesday for sure.
Okay. Sounds good.
Cool.
Then we'll see you guys in 2 weeks, which will be October 20th at 7 a.m.
Keep using all the tools, man. You're already seeing attraction. Use that momentum and gain more momentum, right? Have a great week.
Thanks, guys.
Nice to meet you, Ashley.
Thanks for joining, Ashley.